Dean Bulldog Ritchie is about to join us this morning. In fact, I've been told it's not Dean Ritchie anymore. It's Stephen Ritchie, courtesy of the great James Cummings of Godolphin. Stephen, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Incorrect, as always. No homework done. James came on the show and he said he got the letters ST out and then he went Dean. But then he over-exaggerated after that by calling me Dean every sentence. So it was sort of like a Steen. Oh. First man on the text line was John Cartwright. Cardi. So, oh, hey, Steve, how are you going?
Steve.
So there
morning.
You go.
You're big in the racing industry, aren't you, Steve?
Yeah, yes, I am. Hey? I am. Mm. How are we? Mate, what about today? I read the Garlow's Pie ad every Sunday. I know it off by heart, but I never get a Garlow's Pie because they come in on the Thursday.
Right.
Tomorrow's a public holiday. So guess what's in the kitchen? Garlow's. In the oven, already piping hot.
And you get a murder one on the way out, aren't you?
It's a bit like the old beer scenario, Laurie. How early is it to have a pie? When your body is expecting some breakfast.
That's exactly right. And your body only sees three things, apparently.
What's that?
Protein, fats and carbohydrates.
Well, my body must be blind. It sees none of the three.
I see three other things as well.
Oh, I don't see that.
So anyway, on the way out, what if I could just slip one into the back pocket?
Protein.
Protein, yeah.
Carbohydrates. Right. Fats.
Fats. Right, there might be one. What are the other two?
Protein and carbohydrates.
You don't like them.
I eat protein.
In what?
Meat.
Right, okay. You must be making a lot of money. I went to the butcher today. It cost about $90 to walk out with a leg of lamb the other day.
Well, I don't go to the butcher. My wife might go to the butcher. But you'd be like me. You don't go to the butcher, do you?
Laurie, I'm a new age guy. That's how I roll, mate. I shop. I do all sorts of things.
Oh, you're single, though, aren't you?
Yeah.
So if you don't go to the shops, you don't eat.
Well, that's also an issue.
Yeah.
How many times will a bloke go to the cupboard during the day, knowing he hasn't shopped, and there's nothing in there, but I'll still open the cupboard up, mate.
Do it all the time.
Wonder if a muesli bar's just slipped in somehow, some way.
Muesli bar.
Or whatever it
things.
Might be.
What are you talking, muesli bar?
I eat muesli bars.
Mate, you wouldn't eat muesli.
I do.
How's home and away going, by the way?
It's been powerful lately.
Yeah.
We had a wedding last week, and
okay.
Tane's in trouble.
For stealing.
Oh, he stole a baby. Yeah, right. Silly bugger. I don't know what got into him.
Oh, who's the old fella?
Alf.
Alf, is he still there?
Yeah, don't say, is he still there? You know you watch it. You told me.
Yeah, I watched it when my mother was down.
Oh, okay.
And my mother says, I can't believe I watch your show. Yeah, she was watching it all the time.
Still watches.
Yeah.
How good.
Yeah.
I tell you what, you can bag it all you like. It's a surviving show.
Yeah,
I think
unbelievable.
I think it first aired in 88 or something.
I mean,
Kate Ritchie's still on?
No.
No.
Bobby?
She's on the radio now, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah. Bobby.
Yeah, I've
chasing our
Bobby.
Ratings, Laurie. She's chasing our ratings. She won't get there.
No.
Catch up.
Their ratings are way
Catch
higher
up.
Than ours.
Bulldog, we would be remiss of us not to mention this massive story, and I know that it's done by News Corp colleagues of yours on the front and back page of the Australian newspaper today, a statement of claim in the New South Wales Supreme Court lodged by Jackson Taupine at the Dogs based on this wrestling session in July last year, which was reported at the time, the wrestling session. And he has lodged a statement of claim, and in that statement of claim, where he's seeking damages for psychiatric injury, deprivation of liberty, humiliation, indignity, physical exhaustion, physical discomfort, anxiety, embarrassment of fear suffered as a result of being late to training. So, and this will all come out in the proceedings that we see in court. And the Bulldogs, by the way, have said that they deny some of the allegations that have been put forward. The exact line here is they will say that there are a number of allegations that we categorically deny. Was what the Bulldogs said in their statement they gave to the Australian reporters that have done this investigation. But this is something that will be very closely watched and spoken about in days to come. But when it hits, obviously, the courts, and details come out and what ramifications there are going forward, depending on what the court finds, by the way. But this is an interesting... Oh, interesting is the wrong word, but...
Well, it could be a landmark case.
Landmark, that's what
it could well be a landmark case. This emerged last year. It hit the media in 2023. Jackson Taupine wasn't named at that point. Mm. We in the media knew who it was, but we elected not to name him. And I guess this moment, Mido, has been brewing for a long time, and suddenly it's now front page news. I don't know what went on behind closed doors at the Bulldogs. I wasn't inside the gymnasium. It's remiss of me to say too much because it's before the courts, but I would be surprised if any professional rugby league club or sporting club would treat a player so poorly. That would surprise me, Laurie. But again, I don't know. But you read out the list, Mido. It's substantial. It's damaging. And it's shocking when you hear exactly what he has claimed happened to him inside the four walls out there at Belmore. I haven't heard of this before, and I haven't heard of any other Bulldogs player having similar issues.
I can't add much more to that, Bulldog, because I don't actually know what's occurred, and there are allegations, and there's always two sides to a story. And as I said earlier this morning, I'm hoping that Jackson's okay, and the Bulldogs vehemently deny that anything like this has happened. So you've just got to wait to see the courts rule on what the outcome will be. But I've also said that in footy clubs, you know, part of the drive and the determination to get better is to put you in uncomfortable positions at times and to push you to your limits. That's what they do to get you ready for what you're about to face. But obviously you've got to do it in a manner that is correct and procedurally fair. It's a test case, obviously, and we'll see how it all unfolds. I think you said a landmark case, and it possibly is. You know, we've spoken on this program before about, you know, the possibilities of coaches saying something at some point in time, at half time, after the game, before a game, and someone takes offence to it. How long is it before we see a coach, you know, feel the wrath of something like this?
So lawyers are more and more starting to, I wouldn't say rule our game, but they're starting to engage more in our game, which, you know, none of us particularly like. I don't think we want any legal cases pushing through our game. I haven't got last year's reports in front of me, guys, so excuse my ignorance here, but I do recollect he was late for training.
Yep.
And because of that...
And there's some references to that in his statement.
He was then told to go and do extras, which Jackson thought was over the top.
Mm. We're going to have Dale Finucane on as well when you're with us in the next half an hour, Bulldog, but we'll get to the Sharks soon. Let's get to what we saw in the tunnel last Sunday afternoon between the Knights and the Dogs. Some significant fallout, certainly for that game. And Jack Hetherington and Reid Marnie, or Jack Hetherington shaping up to Reid Marnie in the tunnel. For me, there's not much in it. But he drew a bit of a line in the sand, do you believe? And in Bulldog's Bite as well. Have you written about it today?
Yeah, it's in Bulldog's Bite. I wrote a piece. Just, I wanted people to think about how the game's evolved. Look, Laurie, I think you were coaching. No, you wouldn't have been coaching. Sorry, it was 2013. Gallen whacks Nate Miles in the chin. After that...
Yeah, I was in that.
The edict...
I was coach.
You were coaching. Yeah, the edict comes out that one punch and you're now sin-binned. And ever since that day, I've thought that chirpy little players have got into the face of the big blokes and they hide behind that rule. They're protected. In the old days, it was an eye for an eye. You said something, boom, you cop one. That's how it was. It was the law of the jungle out in the field. Well, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah. You wouldn't, yeah. Well, Laurie, I certainly wouldn't.
You came through as a young kid, clearly. I mean, you wouldn't have gone around saying things to big blokes, would you?
No.
Because you knew what was going to happen. Yeah. You cop one. But they've hidden behind this for years now. And in this case, as I've written today, Reid Marnie has mouthed off. But this is different. This bloke said, you know what? I'm going to get square with you. I'll get you up the tunnel. And I just wonder now whether the lippy blokes will continue to be lippy now that there's potential repercussions after the game. I just think it's Jack Hetherington, for all his madness on the field, he's a loose player, albeit he's a very good player. He's drawn a line in the sand. No more crap from little blokes.
Yeah, I know, but you can't do it. That's what Jack did, you can't do. And again, we spoke on the program. We thought maybe a fine was the best outcome, but he's copped a week suspension. And I understand your point of view, Bulldog, because it does annoy me too. The fact that you can be a niggler and get away with it. But the funny thing is, like guys like Reed, Marnie, I would have loved to have played with, but I would have hated to play against. Like, it's the old catch 22, isn't it? Yeah, you want them on your side, but you just, they would annoy you so much and they would drag you in to giving away a penalty. And that's what they do. And that's part of their
game,
too. Well, if
you can kneel and get the penalty, yeah, you've done a good job. I wrote this, Laurie.
But you can't punch.
The mandate in 13 gave new cockiness to chirping players who knew full well they could mouth off and taunt bigger and tougher rivals without copping an old-fashioned whack in the chops.
Yeah, but we know. The game has changed. So
of
you
course
can't,
it
we
has.
Can't promote. But I understand what you're getting
I'm
at.
I'm just saying from now on, maybe they might go, I might just pull back here because these blokes might not want to cop this anymore.
No, exactly right. Yeah.
And I know you can't. I get it. But it was just more along the lines of enough's enough.
Yeah.
And this bloke said, well, okay. Well, see, I'll go back to the 1960s. I'll wait in the tunnel for you.
Yeah.
If you want to carry on, I'll stick one on your chops.
Yeah, no, exactly right. But my opinion on that changed as well because at the time I was like everyone going, mate, let them go. But then as I started to coach my young fella, I would have hated to see him get punched and something serious happened, you know. So I understand why they changed it, and I've sort of then started to get on board with that decision, thinking it's a good decision. But I get your point. I do get your
point.
We
all hate change laws, particularly when change comes from when we grew up. We loved our game back then, and we always balk when old-fashioned things are changed.
Yeah.
But in time, we learn to accept it.
Yeah,
it's like the punch, like the shoulder charge. I was vehemently expanding the shoulder charge. This is a disgrace. But in the end, you generally come around, perhaps as you get older.
Yeah, and you do, and you see the effects. And the last thing we want to see is someone being hit, regardless of whether it's a king hit or someone just standing there going bing, and someone gets a serious injury from that. I don't think we can allow that to happen in our game. But that's not to say, if a blue broke out in a game of football, you're not sitting there going, oh, how good. So I totally get it. You've also had a little bit of a crack at Buzz.
Yeah, I did.
What's going on?
Well, Buzz did a piece in the Sunday Telly. It goes back to a story I wrote in the back page last week saying that the Blues are looking at Joseph Suaalii. And I think Joseph Suaalii is a wonderful player. And if I was to pick my team, I'd have him on the wing. He's big, he's strong, he's got great run meters, kick goals, and he's a big body coming out of the back. He'd be picked if I was selecting. Buzz then came forward and said, look, we shouldn't pick him or consider him because he is going to rugby union. Now, I've hit back today at Buzz simply saying that I don't think Michael Maguire should, nor will he care who he picks. Michael Maguire's charter is simple. He has to win. He has to win to keep his job.
Pick the best team.
He's got to pick the best team. I'm not saying Joseph Suaalii will be in the team, but he shouldn't be overlooked or ignored simply because he's going to rugby.
Couldn't agree more. Pick the best side.
And I even said if the Kiwis played a mid-year test, hypothetically, would they pick Joey Manu? Of course they would.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you there either, Bulldog. And I
Let's worry about 25 in 25.
That's exactly right. I love picking a fight with you every Wednesday when you come in, but I can't today.
I can't pick
any holes in your stories because I totally agree with you. If he's the best man for the job, you pick him, regardless of whether he's going to rugby union or not. Madge's job is to win the series. And we've got some depth on the wing, and he'll be fighting it out for a position in the New South Wales team with guys like Lomax and To'o and the Fox. So there's a bit of depth there. I totally agree with you.
I can't believe the debate around James Tedesco not being there.
I can. He's
our captain. He's our leader.
I think he's done a fantastic
job.
And
I think he deserves to be there again for Origin.
Yeah, I'm not saying he doesn't deserve to be there, but I think in terms of debate, yes, there should be a discussion.
Who would you have as fullback?
I'm unsure, but I think the discussion needs to be had. And you never make a decision now. You wait until all the information is at your disposal, and then after the weekend's games, before that first Origin selected, then you make your decision. You don't ever pick a team beforehand.
We're seven games in, aren't we? Wasn't Teddy brilliant the first few rounds? I seem to remember him being hailed as the new Teddy. I was in Vegas. He blitzed him over in Vegas.
No, there's no.
So we're going to now say after three good games and four modest games, you're out?
No. You said the debate. I'm saying, yes, there should be a debate about it. I'm not saying drop him. I'm not saying anything other than, of course you have to discuss who's playing well and who's not playing well. And regardless of whether he's captain in New South Wales or not, you've got to pick, and Madge will. He'll pick the team that he thinks he can win with. And the other thing about Madge is that he hasn't got a strong relationship with a lot of these players. So it's going to be easier for him if he has to make that decision. Mm. Rather than someone that's been there for the last two or three years as coach, that's had that bond and trust in a captain and a leader.
Clean slate.
Well, that's exactly right.
Is that a pun?
Yeah.
With Billy.
Yeah. So you don't think there should be a debate at all?
Look, we can have a debate. I'm probably over the top there by saying no debate, but I'm saying I wouldn't have anyone tell me that James Tedesco shouldn't be in the side. I'm a Teddy fan.
He's
been there for years. His form in the first few games was brilliant. I just can't see how we seem to, and I do it myself, how we switch around so quickly in rugby league. Three good games and three bad games, and then we want to call someone's head.
Just see how he goes in the next 4 weeks. But in terms of having a discussion, no, I think we all need to have a discussion. Well, we can discuss it, but Madge will certainly.
What team will he pick, Laurie? You know Madge. Will he pick a hardened team? That's generally how Madge goes. Will he pick on form? Will he stick with his senior players? Will he go with youth?
Oh, I think he'll mix
it up. Knowing Madge as we do.
I think he'll mix it up.
Yeah.
I think he'll pick a tough team. I think he'll pick a team.
A team that's
competes.
Got an attitude.
He won't worry about what's happened in the past. I know you can say you're going to pick on form, which he will, but I think there'll be also guys that if they're proven at that level, he'll possibly go with. I think you'll see some changes. Most definitely.
It's amazing straight away on the text line. Absolute rubbish. Tedesco isn't even in the top five New South Wales fullbacks. Tom Turbo's the best fullback in New South Wales. Full stop. Everyone's got an opinion, certainly in this state, on
Turbo
the fullback jersey.
He'll just be in the centres.